Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know who needed to hear this morning of how powerful your God is, but obviously somebody needed to know and be reminded that whatever's facing you, that you and God make a majority, and that God is able to do abundantly above what we ask or think. And so we praise the Lord for that wonderful message, that one, Brother Daniel, and then the other singing this morning as well. Earlier, Brother Daniel was out in the frigid cold starting buses, and so he cleaned up and got over here. And so praise the Lord. Thank God for him. Appreciate what he does for the Lord. And thank you for that singing today. It's good to have the Wilhelm family in the back. Somebody give me a card about them. Missionaries of Romania, right there, a couple pews from the back. Thank you for being with us. What a joy. We'll get look forward to meeting you after the service. But thank you for joining us today. I wanted to make mention, if you would put just put this in your brain or make a note on February the 12th. That's the Saturday. That is a Saturday. And I'll share more about it as we get coming on, but there's a couple things going on as we move into the first couple months here. This one, of course, almost being gone. But when we get into March, we'll do some generational teaching. I'm excited about some things that we'll do for our Equip series. But one thing that we're going to do in February, Brother Kyle and the youth department would like to honor and serve our widows and widowers of our church and have the younger take care of those that have gone the distance before them. And that's on February the 12th, and so we want to invite all of our widows and widowers from 11:30 to 1. We'll have a lunch. It'll be served by the youth department, and we'll have some other folks involved in that as well. But I just want to tell you now, just to make a note on your calendar for the 12th, and we'll be sharing other information later. We can have transportation arranged if you need it to get in here, but I want you to be thinking about who you may encourage to come, or if you're here today, be thinking about that on the 12th. And so we're certainly looking forward to that. And then I reiterate what Brother Daniel said about the couples retreat. Well, if you're able to go, it's going to be a wonderful time, and I challenge you to come and be with us on that Friday night into Saturday. You won't regret it. It'll be a great, great time. Well, we're looking forward. I'm excited to be back in church today. Of course, you know we were out last week, and I'm thankful that the folks that take care of everything, Brother Daniel preached and Brother Dan preached, both did a phenomenal job. And thank God for the staff that is here. And thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being back today, though. I'm hoping that when those numbers come in, there's more here today than there was last week when I wasn't here. That's going to pump up my ego and make me feel good about myself. So we'll see. Now, if I come tonight and I'm down and I'm droopy, that means that it will look worse today than it did last week when you knew I wasn't here. So that's really going to put a shot into my ego. But I will try to do the best we can to keep a smile on my face anyways. Thank you for being church. It's good to see several of you that have been out because you had some family member that was sick and you were quarantined. And it's so wonderful to see you back in your place. What a joy it is to be here. And it's hard to believe that January is well nigh gone and we're into this year. And I know that's what everybody says. It's just like when we have daylight savings time, you look at the window and say, I can't believe it's dark already. Well, it is just the same as it was last year. And this January didn't peel off any quicker than last January. It's just amazing, though, how time keeps speeding on. And I say that not to depress us. I say that to make us charge ahead and say, God, what have you got for us? And so thank you for being in church on a Sunday morning here on this cold day. And I know some of you broke out your scarves and your gloves for the very first time, and you looked and found them. You got them for Christmas, and you finally got them out and had an excuse to wear them. So praise the Lord for this day. Well, I want you to look at Acts chapter 1, if you would. Acts chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 12 and then look at a few verses while you're finding your place in Acts 1. I did hear about this young boy that his dad had sent him money to put in the offering plate at church, and he said he was trying to teach him to tithe, trying to teach him to be a giver, and he told him, hey, this is what you made, now make sure you put this in there. But he noticed after church, he was bragging to some of his friends, he noticed after church he had the same amount of money that he had at the beginning of the day, and he knew that he didn't put any in. He said, son, I told you that you're supposed to put that in the plate in your Sunday school class and make sure that you did that, give it to Jesus. He said, Dad, well, no need to do that. He said, really? He said, no, well, didn't need to do that at all. He said, I had a deal with God. He said, I thought when you gave that to me, I just went right back up to my room. I said, I ain't going to wait till Sunday school. I'm just going to go ahead and take care of it now. He said, oh, really? What happened? He said, well, I figured God's almighty, right, Dad? He said, yes. He said, God can do anything he wants to, right? He said, yes. He said, you believe, you tell me God answers prayer, right? He said, yes. So I can talk to God. He said, yes, 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 all those. He said, so I just took that money you gave me right in the middle of my room, and I told God, I'm going to throw all of it up to you. What you want, you keep. The rest you send back down to me. And you know what, Dad? He sent it all back down, so I still got it. So now I'm hoping that some of you, when you go out and get the offering plates, that you don't follow that method that the boy had. But Acts chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says this, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You know, we've been mentioning in the emphasis for this first part of the year is that to continue. If you got a bulletin on your way in, you'll see it says it at the bottom, and I just felt impressed as we looked into this new year of 2022 that people need to continue. There's been enough happening in the last 18 months or so to make people just quit and just say, I'm done. Well, not only is what's happening on the world stage enough to make people think I'm done, but there's also been a lot happening in the individual lives of the families that are sitting in this room today. If you're not careful, it's enough to make you say, I'm done. And there's been enough happening in individual people struggle to make them say, I'm done, but I'm challenging everybody I can to continue. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of breads. And we see here the theme given in this book of Acts about continuing on. And today I want to share a little bit more about that. And we see this striking trait that the apostles have, and that is to continue. It's not a new story to most of you, but Thomas Edison, when he was a kid, he was considered unteachable in school, thinking that he just didn't have what it took to absorb the lessons that the teachers were giving him. And he was always a different young man. And we know his fame of creating the light bulb that finally worked. And he said, after hundreds and hundreds of attempts to try to make something that would work as the filament for a light bulb, and before he finally figured out a carbonized cotton one would do it, they would talk to him and talk about how many times he'd failed, and many of you have heard the statement that he made. I haven't failed, he said, I've just found 1,000 ways not to build a light bulb. Well, he continued. And we appreciate somebody that continues, but I'm trying to challenge every Christian I can to not only continue in your work, continue in your endeavors, continue in that business, continue in all those things, but in your spiritual life as well, to continue, because you've got so many forces that are against us today that are trying to get us to stop short, trying to get us to bail out, trying to get us to pull back, trying to get us to leave the Lord or leave his church or leave this. There's so many emphasis out there that try to get us discouraged. But I'm challenging, my friend, God has done too much for us that we ought not turn back. God has been so good to us that we need to continue. God has given us enough answers of our prayers that we ought to keep on fighting on. God has been so kind to us and gracious to us and sustaining us. And I want to give you this morning some reasons to continue. I'm going to look at the passage that we read and give you 3 points. And I want you to see, first of all, the activity, and secondly, the camaraderie, but then the third point, the reason why they went on. Would you make your prayer with me and ask the Lord to bless us today? Father, be with us now. Oh, I believe some of my friends, dear Lord, need to hear from heaven. Dear Lord, I believe that some need to know that we can go on. I believe that there are some folks in this room that need to be encouraged today, that the road is tough and the treacherous journey ahead may be daunting, but we've got the Almighty, oh, holy, 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 awesome God that we can sing about how great thou art, that will go with us through that journey. Bless us this morning is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. over these next few moments. I want you to see, first of all, the activity in verse number 14. The activity that these apostles are involved in. We see that the verse says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Back in verse number 4 of that same chapter, you'll see that Jesus tells the disciples that they're supposed to wait on the power from heaven to continue on. It says in verse number 4, being assembled together with them, Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And he tells him in verse number 8, when he gives that great announcement, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So Jesus, before he leaves, he tells them to wait here in Jerusalem. And when you wait in Jerusalem, you will be endued with power from on high. And what they do is exactly what Jesus tells. They find themselves in prayer and supplication in verse number 14. And this is so convicting to me as I was trying to prepare this message and think about what the message would be for this very morning. It's convicting for me as a church or as a pastor of this local church, because the Bible teaches that this church, the house of God, should be a house of prayer. There's many things in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We've got so many good things around here. We've got heat in the winter. Praise the Lord. We've got air conditioning in the summer, and we appreciate that as well. We've got padded pews and beautiful stained glass windows, and we've got all of these things, and we're uptown. We even got indoor plumbing for all of those that need it. We've got everything that we have here that's nice, and we've got sharp things that go on, videos and some skits and some novelty, some contests that we have for our spring program coming up, and comfortable everywhere. But my friend, if we have all of that and we miss the idea and the command of God that this is supposed to be a house of prayer, we've just had a meeting place. And Jesus said the house should be a house of prayer. And these apostles, as they're gathering together, they're all continuing in prayer and supplication. Oswald Chambers, the great author that wrote many books about prayer, said this: prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Somebody said it like this: you can do more after you pray, but you can do nothing until you pray. And I want to remind us that one of the sure ways that we can continue in this year is to have a real relationship, a real fellowship with the Lord, and have a prayer life where you get alone with the Father and you in the secret place, you pray and give your heart to the Lord and get instructions from Him. And the activity that the apostles were involved in was prayer and supplication. But I want to give you this, and also in verse number 14, not only the activity, but the camaraderie. Verse number 14 says, these all continued with one accord. In verse number 13, it says here that they went up into an upper room. They gathered together. Jesus says, pull back and just wait there in Jerusalem. Wait there until you're endued with power. And that's what they do. They have the camaraderie one with another. And I believe what will get this church through into the next year and the next, as Jesus tarries his coming, is the camaraderie, the family that God has put us together with. As we sing sometimes, you may notice I say brother and sister around here, and that's because we're a part of the family of God. We may not know everything that goes on in everybody's life, and I understand you don't want everybody to know what goes on in every area of your life, nor do I, but we ought to have that family feel where we can talk to one another and say, would you pray for me, brother, about this? We ought to have that camaraderie as the apostles had. They all continued in one accord. In an old Peanuts cartoon, Linus is watching TV, and Lucy comes in. You remember Lucy and Linus? And Lucy comes in. He tells Linus to turn the channel. And he says, what makes you think that you can come in here and take over, Linus? And Lucy says, these five fingers. She says, when they're individual, they're nothing. But she said, when I curl them together into a single unit, they form a weapon that's terrible to behold. And Linus just answered back in the next little bit. He says, well, which channel do you want, Lucy? But as he turns the channel, he looks at his own hand and he says, why can't you guys ever get organized like that? Listen, there's something powerful when we come together. They say snowflakes are some of most God's fragile invention or creation. But boy, when they stick together, they do a lot of good or bad, whichever way you look at it. It depends on whether you're trying to get out of school the next morning, I think. Camaraderie. These disciples, these apostles, they were in one accord. It's no wonder some of our families are in a mess. Our families resemble a war zone sometimes more than they do the family of God. We've got adult children bickering at their dad, and we've got teenagers rebelling against their father, and we've got fathers that are neglecting their children and abandoning the home. We don't stick together, but oh, we should. The camaraderie that was exhibited in these apostles, it was so thick that these men were in one accord, and the ladies and the others that were gathered around there, the camaraderie. But I see the activity. They were in prayer and supplication. And then I see the camaraderie, and I challenge you to, the Bible says, the man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I'm challenging all of us to show ourselves friendly to others that are in the faith and the family of God, such as yourself. But we see that camaraderie. But the third and final issue I'd like to show you this morning is the reason why it was there. The activity, yes, and the camaraderie, but the reason. We see in verse number 8 that Jesus announces to them that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You see the certainty of the statement, ye shall be witnesses. So if I find myself not being a witness, I don't have to look back and say, well, maybe Jesus didn't mean me. Because that, coupled with the great commission that was given, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the other giving, in the great commission, rather, he says, you shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea. He gives us, that go ye therefore and take the gospel to all nations. And so those cyclical commands that he gave it to the apostles who were going to go and win others, who were going to go and win others, who were going to go and win others, and it brought all the way down to us. And so the command falls on us. But the reason that these apostles could continue is because they were told to. They had just gotten important information on what their lives would look like. They were just told, this is what you're going to do. And then it was easy for them to get in that upper room and just gather around in prayer and supplication and have that camaraderie because they were following orders. All of us know what it's like to be looking on the internet and some headline of some news station comes across and you can't hardly help but click on there and find out what's happening over in that certain area of the world. We all see some banner that comes on there, tells you how to make lots of money, how to get healthy, something that's a sensational headline that piques your interest and pulls you over there. Well, these guys were told that they were going to change the world. Jerusalem, a little further out, Judea, over here another region, Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth. The reason that they had this desire to continue was because what they were told to do. But I want to give you the last one before we leave. Not only were they told what they were going to do, but the reason that they continued was because of who told them to do it. The Bible says that Jesus, in verse number 5, tells them, but John truly baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse number 7, he says, it's not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but. And it's not only what they were told, It was who was doing the telling. They're finally getting the picture. They missed it for so long that as Jesus would tell them, he was going away. But now they understand he's not going to be here with us. And you and I know, some of us have been around people and you heard the last words that people spoke on this side of heaven. And those words, you hold them dear. Books are written about it. Different quotations from saints and sinners. And sometimes when we hear the last words that people utter, it just sticks there. Well, these disciples, these apostles, are continuing, not because of, only because of what they heard, ye shall be witnesses unto me, but who they heard them from. You think important words from the person, the last ones they hear on this earth, are important from anybody else? Well, then certainly the last command that the Savior gives his disciples is bound to stick in with them. And so he says that you will continue, you will be empowered, and you will be witnesses. And I could not escape this thought as I prepared for this message. Perhaps the reason we see so many people not continue is because they're not spending time with the one who tells them to carry on. Maybe too much of our religion has been handed down from our dad, and that's wonderful. I have a wonderful father. Maybe too much of our dedication has just been told to us by another human being, and we haven't made it real by spending time with the Savior. Perhaps the reason we see ourselves shipwrecked so much in our spiritual life, not because we didn't hear the right words, but because we didn't spend enough time with Jesus to hear from Him. Maybe the reason that there are so many folks in your family and mine that aren't following the Lord like they ought to is because they quit trying to listen to Him long ago. And you, my friend, I'm trying to get us this morning to see in me, as I met with the Lord this morning early and as I prayed, I thought of this thought again. Maybe so many preachers that used to do what I'm doing right now, but now are shipwrecked and a little shadow of a life what they used to have, is perhaps the reason is because they quit getting alone with the Savior. And I'm begging you this morning, if you don't already have a habit of getting alone with the Lord on a regular basis, that you make some changes this morning. And you say, Lord, I'll meet you tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. I don't know when your schedule works best. But you would commit to the Lord that I'm going to hear from you. And I believe we have so many problems in our Christian lives. We have so many Christians who are bailing out of their church or bailing out of their family or whatever, because they haven't been spending much time with the Savior. That's pretty much the message. God just seemed to press down on me that our need for this hour is to recommit spending time on a regular basis with Him. I don't know if that means you got to get up an extra half hour early and do it then, or if you take your time right after the day, after some of those responsibilities are done, and you can just get alone and just block everything else out and talk to the Savior. But I believe with all my heart that's our need this morning. I believe we'll continue when we have spent time with the Master. We'll have that loyalty to Him when we've spent time with the Master. Now, depending on where you're from, you might call carbonated beverage that you'll have at lunch Coke, pop. Some of you call soda. Can you get your soda? And again, depending on where you're from, you may ask somebody, "Hey, you want something? You want something to drink?" Say, "Yeah, I'll take a Coke." And somebody will ask you back, "What kind you want?" We got Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, and root beer. And some of you say, "What are you talking about?" It's just all different regions. And further, depending on where you're cut from, if you're from North Carolina, you might say Pepsi's the drink of choice. It was found in New Bern, North Carolina, I think. If you're from Georgia, probably Coca-Cola is yours. Coca-Cola spends millions and millions of dollars to try to get you and I to recognize that script word, Coca-Cola. I don't care whether you like Pepsi, Coke, Dr. Enough, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew. As long as it doesn't get much harder than that, I'm okay. Now, some of you Baptists, we get a little further than that, then we're going to have problems. I don't care which one you're loyal to. But I do care that we're loyal to Christ. And again, I'm afraid that some of us aren't as loyal as we should be because we're not spending the time that He wants us to. They say that 100 pianos tuned to each other sounds terrible. But they say you could have a great concert hall of 100 pianos. If they were all tuned to the same tuning instrument, it would sound melodious. And I'm afraid that our lives, we've been tuning ourselves to this commentator, this news source, this tradition, this over here, that over there. It's no wonder we sound like a room full of cats hissing and fighting at each other. But I believe if each of us start out on an endeavor to speak to the Savior often and for a sizable period of time, then we could have harmony swoop over a meeting like this. There was a reason the apostles continued, not only because of what they were told to do, but because of who told them to do it. If you're here today and you're a Christian, I wouldn't ask you to say it out loud. I wouldn't tell you out loud. But I'm asking you, if you're a Christian, have you been having that meaningful time with the Lord? Oh, I don't mean what we taught our kids, "Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep." Anything wrong with those things, I suppose. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you been having a meaningful time with the Lord on a regular basis? If you haven't, I'm glad you came. Because I'm going to ask you to commit to the Lord. You don't have to commit to me. I can't help you anyways. But I'm going to ask you to commit to the Lord. The Lord, you're going to hear from me often. I'm going to want to have a meaningful walk with you. I believe we will continue when we spend time with Him. And if you're here today and that's you, I challenge you at the invitation time that you make an altar right there out of your seat. You're welcome to come here too. But make an altar right out of your seat. Just sit there and pray. And tell the Lord that, "Lord, it's going to be more consistent from here on." You and I know it's true, but we get so caught up in everything, pulls us away. And if you're a Christian, I'm going to ask you to make that commitment to the Lord. If you're here today, though, and you're not a believer, all you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, undoubtedly you do. You're at a church, and we have a big cross up the front, and you know the basics. But you're here today, and you're wondering what's going on. You're wondering in life and wondering what's going on. Why am I here? What is all this about? Can I tell you, if you're that way, then what a person like you needs to do is just receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the Savior of the world. That's why He came. But He wants to be your personal Savior. And if you're here today and you're not saved, then I'm going to ask you, would you give your life to Jesus Christ? And would you accept Him into yours and ask Him to be your Savior? Those are the two invitations I'm giving today. If you're saved, that you'd commit to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to spend time tomorrow. I'm going to endeavor to spend time Tuesday. I'm going to try to spend time with you, meaningful time, hear from you. If you're not saved today, that you'd ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. There's other needs possibly on your heart. Maybe somebody needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you want to come and present yourself for that. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved, but you've never been baptized. And you know that the Lord would be pleased with you to follow Him in baptism. And you'd like to come present yourself for that. We'll do it in a service real soon. Wherever you land on those things, I'm challenging every person in this room to do something between you and the Savior. I hope you accept that challenge. Father, bless us now. As our prayer, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, perhaps you're here today and you're not even sure why you came. Things have been so rough. Your walk with the Lord has been so spotty, but you found out why now. You know now, because the Lord wanted you to come and hear what you heard. I challenge you to make a holy vow to God. Maybe you're here and you really know why you're here, because you've been struggling, searching for something that's meaningful, and you now realize it's Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, I pray you won't walk out these doors without doing business with the Holy God, and we'll be so thankful and supportive of your decision. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If you're here today and you need to come to this old-fashioned altar, Brother Daniel's up here in front of the pulpit. You need somebody to pray with you. He's here. If you're a lady and you want a lady to deal with you, he'll certainly facilitate that. One of the good ladies of the church would spend time with you praying. If you're here not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? If you need somebody to just pray with you about that, would you just leave your seat? Somebody will help you. They'll let you out if you need to be out. As these are being dealt with, why don't you take this time? Is your walk with the Lord where it needs to be? You say, how do you know? What do you know? Well, I don't know, but if the Lord's brought some things to your attention, I challenge you to make some holy vows to Him of what you ought to be doing, spending time with Him, carving out those precious moments, getting orders from headquarters, so to speak, directions. Thank you so much. You can look this way. What a joy to be in God's house. It's a joy to see each of you. But the thrill of our day is to introduce Miss Sarah Lyons right here. She has came with Miss Diane Edwards, and she prayed and trusted Christ as her Savior today. And she already did that already, but today, but wanted to make it public and let you know about it. And so I rejoice with that she's born again this morning. Praise the Lord. Sarah, what a joy. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we thank God for what He did in your life. So thank you again for being in church today. I challenge you to be back with us tonight at 6:30. We've got a different service than we've ever done before. And the format will be different, and I think it'll be very, very enjoyable. It'll be a little bit, I hope that you're intrigued and you want to come back at tonight at 6:30. It's going to be a great time to hear from me and the pastoral staff about some things that are going to go on this year, because I believe, regardless of whatever happens in the world, I believe that God wants us to carry on until He comes and gets us. He didn't tell us to just hold back and hunker down till He come. He said to occupy till He come. And we want to share some of those things with you tonight. And I trust it'll be a great, great blessing to you. Thank you for being in church this morning. Say goodbye. Say hello. Say something to several folks before you get out of here. Fellowship a little bit together. God bless you. You're dismissed.